your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read, starting there, verse 4. It says, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all." It's wonderful to see everyone here this morning, and we definitely want to thank all the visitors for being here with us. It's always an encouragement to have visitors be with us, and we ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go throughout the lesson this morning. That if anything that is said throughout the lesson or anything we've done throughout our worship that you have questions about, you may feel that maybe is taught an error or something, that bring it to our attention, we'd be more than happy to study further with you and explain why it is we go forth in the way about our worship, or why it is we teach what we teach and make sure that the truth is being taught and all that. I do want to be known that the lesson that I am presenting this morning will be incomplete. So you'll have to listen to the lesson next Sunday morning to hear the rest. That's an invitation to come back on Sunday. As next Sunday, we'll look at the points of one faith, one baptism, and one body. And this morning, I plan on looking at the rest of those parts throughout here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I'm talking about one God, one Lord, one Spirit, and one hope. And if you're unable to attend with us, for I know there are those who do not live near us that are visiting with us, we do have a Facebook page, a YouTube page, that you can go back and listen to the lessons if you desire to hear the remaining of the lesson that is being presented this morning. And you can hear it on those. We do post the MP3 on our website, multiple ways in which you can find the lesson next Sunday. But I do want to talk about the oneness as we go through and look at these verses here. The oneness that it talks about throughout these scriptures that we need to make sure we focus on what it is we can learn from. So I hope that you will follow along as we go through the lesson. The first part, again, is that I want to talk about is one God and Father of all. One God. As we go through life, again, that there are Christianity in itself is a large faith. And there's a variety, of course, as we bring out religions upon that faith of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there's also many who would go forth and deny that there is a God, or those who would say that there are other gods. And as we open up our Bible and search the scriptures, we need to see that there is only one God, one true God, one Father of all, and above all, and in us all. And so there is only one God. In Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness is upon the face." But there's only one God. One God who created all things in the heavens and the earth. One single God. And just to think about that. One God that created it all. One God. Now I know that the Spirit and that our Lord and Savior was there at the beginning. We'll talk about the Spirit and the Lord here in a bit. And we know that all things were made through Him. But our God and Father was there also. Our God created all things. You think back again, not long ago, I believe we've done a lesson on Job and went through and talked about when he got to that point of God speaking back to Job and how he questioned. He says, "Where were you when I created all things? Where were you when the waters were being brought up and I said, stop here, go no further? Where were you when these large creatures and animals were created? Who was you? Did you divide the stars and the skies and the lights?" That was our God. Our God created all these things. And He is one and only one. And there shall be, and there should be, no other gods in our life. In Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 3, Exodus 20, and looking at verse 3, as God had given the commandments to Moses, And we read through the Ten Commandments here in verse 3. It says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And it was critical for God to make that point to them because, again, they're just now leaving Egypt. And now that they're out of Egypt, where they had been surrounded by idols, surrounded by false gods, they were used to having these idols. And God had to make it clear, you cannot have these idols. You cannot bring these idols with you. You cannot keep these idols. They need to be cast out. And again, something they struggle with as we get to Exodus chapter 32 and what happens when Moses is gone for a few days. Well, they get caught up and saying, Aaron, build us a god. We don't know what happened to this Moses. So Aaron takes all of their gold and he forms a golden calf. And he just gets to him. Because he goes not even just to say, well, here's your new god. He goes further to say, this is the God that had delivered you out of Egypt. And they truly know that there was only one God that had made the plagues come on Egypt. One God that spared them as the Passover took place and all the firstborn died of those who did not put the blood of the lamb above the door. One God that parted the Red Sea and allowed them to cross over on dry land. And yet they went back to an idol because they didn't know where their leader was. There's only one God in whom we are to be serving today. And understand that as we think about him in that way, it also made the point that he is the Father of all, and one true Father up above, in which we are to rely on and call our Father up in heaven. In 2 Corinthians, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and in verse 18, 2 Corinthians 6, and in verse 18, it says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now understand, this ain't saying that you don't have a dad here on earth. But when it comes to the Father above all, the Creator of all things, the one that is going to be our leader in heaven, our Father up above, there's only one Father of all. That's our God. That's our God. And again, why we should not call anyone else upon this earth besides your dad, again, Father. That as the leader of the church, you don't wear that title because there is only one Father. That's our God. Why so often? Again, I know more often it's pastor or different terms in which they call their leaders and fathers specifically to another point, but always have to correct. Yes, I'm the preacher or I'm the minister. Evangelist. Because God is. God is our leader whom we have to look to and to guide us. And he has a love for us all. A love for all the children. Love that he shows no partiality to anyone. Because, again, John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves us all. And he presents the opportunity for everyone to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but as some consider slackness, is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Peter had went to the house of Cornelius, and he had finally preached the word to some Gentiles, and that he was trying to figure out why God sent him there to these Gentiles and the visions that he had before that. And as the Holy Spirit came upon them, he says, I perceive that God shows no partiality. And he asked the men that were with him, who would hinder me from baptizing these men? Because they can clearly see that God had allowed the Spirit to come upon them. That God wants all to be saved. He loves all the children. He loves everyone. And he desires everybody to be saved. He's our Father
up above. There's only one. We can't allow others to come before our God. No man should go above him.
No image, no idol.
And again, we got a picture in our mindset when we talk about idols, because we go to the ways it was in the Old Testament, or we go to the ways some foreign cultures go about it. They actually have an actual image of this idol that they are sitting there bowing down to, and that they are worshiping, that they are making sacrifices to. Understand, if we are putting other things in our lives above God, that is your idol. That is whom you serve. Whether that be money, whether that be work, whether that be sports, whether that be games, whatever that may be, a vehicle, a house. We are not to put anything above our God. There is only one.
We need to make sure that it's clear. And as there is only one God, there is only one Savior. Again, going back to John 3 and verse 16. John 3 and verse 16. Says he gave his only begotten Son.
A little bit different as we consider ourselves children of God. We think about our Lord and Savior as his only begotten Son. Now he is the true one and only Son that he had. Jesus, the only true heir in our Lord and our Father of the Father. There's only one. And yet, he is willing to leave heaven, knowing that he already has everything to be given to him. And to be the heir of heaven, the crown of life. All glory for him. And yet, he is willing to serve, to be obedient to the Father. To come down to this world because, again, he loves us all.
Coming down to sacrifice his life for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here the brethren were caught up and they were split and divided. And they were, in this example here, and we know as you continue throughout the book of Corinthians that there are plenty of things that they were divided about.
But here in this specific spot that Paul is writing about in this chapter, they were simply divided because of a matter of who had taught them and who had baptized them. Some saying, I'm of Paul, and others of Apollos, and others of Cephas, and they continue to go about and claiming, well, I'm better because this is the apostle, and this is the great teacher over here. Well, he has great scholarship, and so they define whether who's the better Christian by that. And Paul trying to stop them in that mindset. In verse 12, he says, what I mean is that each one of you say, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?
See, it doesn't matter who dunks you under that water. It doesn't matter who's the one to teach you the truth.
What matters is the truth. What matters is that Christ did die for you. What matters, as we'll get to next Sunday, is the faith that you have in our one God, our one Savior, our one Spirit, and what He has given to us.
Jesus is the only one that died for your sins.
He is the only one that could have sacrificed himself so that your sins could be forgiven. And Paul just throws that in to Athens. He says, is Christ divided? Did I hang on the cross for your sins? Is that who you were baptized into?
Only one had done that. That is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, Paul went through a lot of suffering. But he didn't do what our Lord and Savior did. He could not do what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, Romans chapter 5. In
in verse 15. Here it compares to the example of Adam as he brought sin into the world. Through one man had sin entered into all our lives. But also the likeness, the antitype here with our Lord and Savior, as it brings up and says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound for many. And the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For because one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abound all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ. See, it started with one who had given in, and then the minds of all men had opened up to right and wrong, to good and evil. And now all have been tempted and all have sinned, all children. But it's also through one man's action, through one man's sacrifice, through one man's faithful living in righteousness and pureness and holiness until he died and resurrected, in which we can all receive that gift, that grace, that forgiveness of sins for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No other in which we can go to, no one else who can come to you and say, I can forgive your sins. I can lead you to Christ, but I can't forgive your sins. You have to give yourself over to the Lord. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, this Jesus is the one, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other. There is no other person. There is no other Savior. There is no one else coming. Jesus is the only one saved. And so as we go through our lives here on earth and we go about asking what it is one needs to do to be saved, who do we go to? We must go to Jesus. We must ask our Lord. We must go to Him. It's only through our Lord and Savior in which we can approach our Father above. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. Jesus made it clear, he who denies me, I will deny before the cross. He who confesses me, he who acknowledges our Lord and Savior, our Savior will acknowledge. As we desire to get to the one Father, we must come to our Savior. As we continue further, we need to understand that there's only one Spirit. As Jesus ascended up, there was a promise before He ascended that God would send a helper. That God would send the Spirit to guide the apostles, to guide the brethren in the right direction, to write what we have today. But there is only one Spirit. Only one. Not a variety of spirits. Going forth and teaching a variety of teachings. But there's only one. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1. And looking at verse 19, it says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention,
as to a lamp shining in the dark in a place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes or someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
The one and only. Not one of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. God moved these men as they were moved along and carried along by the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure we clearly know what's saying there, that there is only one Spirit. As they went forth and they were able to perform the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they were able to heal the sick, they were able to speak in tongues, they were able to discern the spirits. It all came from one Spirit that they were able to do these things. There wasn't a variety of spirits with different gifts performing different things. But they were all being moved by the one and only Spirit that our God had given. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but in the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For to one is given through the Spirit utterance of wisdom, to another utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another versions of kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he is. Again, as they went forth and taught, as Peter went one way, and Luke went over here, and Paul went over there, and John, as they spread about, they went and taught the Word of God. They were all being moved by the same Spirit. So therefore, again, faith. As we'll get to next Sunday. So therefore, there is only one Spirit. So we go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and the prophet, and doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped. There's no need of another Spirit. There's no need of anything else because God has given us everything we need to complete His work. To go forth and fight the good fight. We have it right here in front of us as we use the Bible and it's compared to a sword here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It tells us to put on that full armor of God. It says you carry the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Why is the sword of the Spirit? Because the Spirit is who moved the Apostle Paul as he wrote these letters to the church. It is the Spirit who moved Matthew, Mark, and John. God moved writing this for us. So therefore, we can say the author of the Bible is God. Because it is His words that we have today. It is His words and what He wanted us to know and to have, to know what we need to do in order to be saved and know what to do in order to help others. Again, going back to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that everything we need to do to improve, to correct, to teach, to instruct, everything here for us today, all
given to us by one Spirit. One and the same Spirit. Which leads us to having that same hope. One hope that is preached throughout the Word of God, throughout the gospel that we have today. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, if you will. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." I believe we can say those words can be applied to us today, that God is the God that has plans to give you hope. That one God. Why? Because He's the one that sent His only Son. Because He's the one that sent the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have hope. Hope for a better place. Hope for a better time. Hope for our own heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. 1 Peter 1. And looking at verse 13. It says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for the action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It says, set your hope on that gift. Set on that grace of God. Set on that time in which our Lord will come back. We have hope to see that day when Jesus comes in the air and the angels are gathering Him and separating left and right and keeping Him. We have hope we can gather on the present. That we'll hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into that kingdom." That we have that hope of a home in heaven. As John 14 and verse 2, as Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you." As some translations may read mansion, some translations may read room. Again, it doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be better than anything you have. That home in heaven with our Lord and Savior, with our God and Father, with the Holy Spirit and our brothers and sisters. That is the hope that God gives us. It's the same hope that we should all have after studying the Word and looking through the Scriptures. The hope that we hold on to. And again, the mindset of what heaven might be like, and again, to say what's literal, to say what is just figurative, and what, it just gives us a glimpse of what heaven might be like. Revelation 21. As you go through and you read about the tree of gold and the precious stones and the gate, you also read in verse 4 about no pain and no tears and no sorrow. You read later on towards the end of it that there's no need of a sun or a moon because God and the Lamb will be there and they will be. Therefore, no need of a church building or temple or sanctuary, because God and the Lamb will be there to worship face to face. Does that not just make you want to fight the good fight? Make it worth going through any tribulation and suffering you might go here on earth? The mindset and the hope that we have to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says, we give thanks as he considers this thanks. But we must continue in it. We must continue steadfastly in that hope that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, this is just a partial of the lesson. I encourage you to come back next Sunday morning and finish it up. Talk about the one faith, one baptism, one body. It's all that we talk about today leads us to those things, about the one faith in our God, Savior, and Spirit. The one baptism that puts us into them, and the one body, which is the church that our Lord has established. We don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we want to encourage you to do so. Don't ever want anyone leaving without the opportunity to give their lives over to God, to wash their sins away, coming up a new person. Let us know, knowing that you have a home in heaven. If you're here and you need prayer's congregation to help you continue to fight that good fight, if there's anything you can assist, let me know.
You will follow Jesus standing.